get real. And I like that number because it made me really think about how it is sometimes in churches. Because to be honest with you, sometimes, like Peter does in our text, sometimes we're faced with the command of God, and our response initially is, Lord, I got to tell you this, I just don't feel like it. Now, I know some of you guys, I know y'all holding all, y'all all letting the bag of chips, but can I be honest with you today? Sometimes when people ask me to do something or the Lord asks me to do something, I respond like Peter. I've worked all night and caught nothing. To be honest with you, Lord, I don't feel like it. Now, I know some of you are here today, and you every time the Lord tells you to do it, you drop everything and you do it immediately. But for the rest of us, when sometimes it happens, that sometimes we just don't feel like it. Maybe I'm talking to a husband tonight, today. And when God said, love your wife as Christ loved the church, maybe you say, yeah, but Lord, I just don't feel like it. Because she get on my last nerve. Matter of fact, she get on my reserve nerve. She get on my nerve, and I really don't feel like loving her as Christ loved the church. I don't feel like. Maybe I'm talking to a wife today that says, respect your husband and honor him. And maybe you feel like, well, he don't deserve it. I mean, he don't do me right, and he don't do me right. And I just don't feel like doing it. Can I talk to somebody today? When God tells you something to do, you are faced with the reality that sometimes in life, you just don't feel like it. Sometimes you don't feel like forgiving somebody. Sometimes you don't feel like sharing the gospel. Sometimes you just want to keep your mouth shut. Sometimes you don't want. Sometimes you're just not feeling it today. But I came to tell you today, if you can push past your feelings and respond to the word of God, not by your feeling, but by faith, God says you can be blessed and be a blessing. Now, y'all looking at me cross-eyed, but it's all in this text today, because the text says is that Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee. Luke says it's the Lake of Gennesaret, but it's the Sea of Galilee. And he's walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he notices that there are two boats there that had just got through fishing. And they were washing, the text says, they were washing their nets. They had getting ready to hang them up. They were done for the day. They fished all night. Jesus was teaching. And the text says people, there's a multitude, there's a crowd there that's pushing up on him so much that he gets in the boat, casts a little bit out from the land, and makes, watch this, Pastor Milby, he makes his own pulpit. And he began to preach and teach from the boat. You know, I tell people a lot of times when I talk to associate ministers, I say, you don't always sit around and wait for your pastor to leave before you preach it. Sometimes you got to make your own pulpit. Sometimes Sally Moore, the elementary school right next door, sometimes that can be your pulpit. Sometimes evangelizing and sharing the gospel with somebody, sometimes you need to make your own pulpit. That's what Jesus does, Pastor. He takes that boat, turns it into a pulpit, and the text says he preaches the people from the boat. Now watch this. The text says there were people that came to hear him and they were pressing upon him, watch this, to hear the word of God. Now, I got to tell you this. I, when I looked at this text, these people ought to be commended and congratulated because they're coming to Jesus for the right reason. They're coming to Jesus to hear what Jesus has to say. Isn't that different than many of us? Many of us, when it comes to politics, we don't care what Jesus has to say. It's just what the Democrats or the Republicans have to say. He said, now, I don't care what they have to say. When I came to hear Jesus, I came to hear what Jesus has to say to me at this moment, at this time in my life. Can I ask you a question? What do you come to church for? Do you come to church to hear the word? Are you listening? You know, that's different between hearing and listening. You know that, don't you? There's some people that hear but don't listen. Well, y'all watch this, because my daddy used to tell me, he said, when he would tell me to do something, he would say this. He said, son, did you hear me? Now, he didn't say, did his voice enter into my ears and make a sound on my eardrums and it did something to my sound and vocal. He doesn't say that. He'll say, are you listening? Because a lot of folks, there's hearing and not listening. But these people in this text, Pastor, is that they're coming to Jesus to hear the word of God. You know, a lot of people come to Jesus for different reasons, don't they? A lot of people come to Jesus because they want to be healed. That's good. A lot of people come to Jesus because they want their needs met. There's nothing wrong with that. A lot of people come to Jesus for different reasons. But this crowd at this time comes to Jesus, the text says, to hear the word of God. They want to see what Jesus has to say. And they're hearing the word of God, and the crowd is so there. He makes his own pulpit, and then when he gets through teaching, he tells Simon to take your nets and go out to the deep for a catch. And here's what Simon says. He said, Lord, I hate to tell you this, but I don't feel like it. He says, we've toiled all night. Now, there's more to this text than meets the eye, because I got to unpack this, because there's more to this, because many of us are sitting in Peter's seat right now. Peter initially responds by, first of all, saying, I don't feel like it. He said, we've toiled. The word toiled carries with the idea of we are exhausted. We've been fishing all night. This ain't nothing new. We know what we're doing. We've been fishing all night, and I don't feel like it. My flesh is tired. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to spend some time with my wife. I'm ready to spend some time with little Peter Jr. I ain't got time to go fishing. I don't feel like doing it. I'm tired, Lord. I don't feel it. And can I tell you, there's some people here today that if you be honest, there's sometimes when you're faced with the command of God, you respond to it, I don't feel like it. But you know, that's not on the reason how he responds. Watch this. He also responds not out of feeling. And if you're going to get the blessing that God has for you, you're going to have to move past feeling. And that's what Peter does. Watch this. He said, not only does he move past feeling, he said, Peter said, when he's faced with the command of God, he said, not only do I not feel like it, he says, watch this, he says, the facts are not on my side. He said, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. See, he produces for Jesus the facts. And can I tell you, that's how some people are today? When we're faced with the command of God, and God tells you to do something that you ain't never done before, that doesn't make sense to you, that doesn't seem reasonable to you, you start presenting to Jesus the facts. We fished all night. Let me tell you, Jesus, he said, Jesus, your problem is you're just a carpenter. Let me tell you the facts about fishing. Nobody, Jesus, fishes during the daytime. If you're going to do right, and I know you can make benches, you can make chairs, why don't you just stick to that? But let me give you the facts. Nobody fishes during the daytime. If they were doing it, there'd be more people doing it, but ain't nobody doing it, Jesus. The facts are you don't fish at this time of day. Let me give you the facts. See, we operate by, we're a fact-based people, aren't we? Even in political, when you have a political debate, they got a factcheck.org because we're into facts, right? You know, look at our language that we use. The language that we use is fact. They say, well, no, matter of fact. We love facts, don't we? We say something like this. Well, you got to understand, the facts are on my side. Even if you know, those of you who are old school know Dragnet, they say, just the facts, ma'am. Because we love facts. Even the disciples during Jesus' time were inundated by the facts. Jesus says to this, he said, when he get ready to feed the 5,000, he said, I want you to have the people sit out. He said, I want you to feed them. Philip raised his hand. He said, well, I crunched the numbers. He said, well, I put the two together. I got my Excel spreadsheet. He said, Jesus, you don't know what you're doing. Let me give you the facts. We only have 2 pennies worth of bread. That's the fact. Jesus, I don't care nothing about no facts. I had to think of people sit down because I don't operate always by facts. I operate by faith. Well, he said the facts. When he goes to the man that's at the pool of Bethesda that's been there for 38 years. He asked him, do you want to get well? He said, well, let me give you the facts, Jesus. He said, I want to get well, but when the angel stirs the water, somebody gets down there and gets down before me so I don't get healed. Jesus, I ain't asking about no facts. Do you want to get well? He said, yeah, I want to be well. Y'all remember John chapter 11? He goes to his friends after Lazarus had been dead, he goes to Bethany Cemetery. Mary and Martha met him at the county line. Said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. He said, well, show me where you laid him. I wish I had somebody read it beside me. He said, show me where you laid him. He goes to Bethany Cemetery and tells them to move the stone. Martha raised her head and said, let me give you the facts. He's been dead 4 days. He stinks by now. She said, I don't care about no facts. Move the stone. Lazarus, come forth. See, the reality is that if you are going to do what God tells you to do, you're going to have to move past feeling and you're going to have to move past the facts. But that's not all that's in the text. He said, if you're going to obey God and do what God tells you to do, he said, Reverend Fuller, I'm talking to me now. He said, you're going to have to move past the feeling. It's in the text. We've toiled all night. You got to move past the facts, and you had to move past, watch this, frustration. Look what he says. He said, we fished all night, watch this, and caught nothing. He said we ain't caught nothing, and we're frustrated, to be honest with you. Y'all see them nets hanging up? That means we finished. That means that we're done. I'm talking to somebody now that God has told you to do something and you've done it and you haven't got the results that you thought you're going to get. And now you're frustrated. You've been giving and it seems like you're still 30 cents away from a quarter. And you wonder what's happening. You say, now you're frustrated, right? Maybe you're in a marriage today or single people. If you're single folk there, you say, I'm living holy and the God ain't brought me nobody yet. I'm just going to get me somebody no matter what. You're frustrated now. He said, but if you're going to obey God and get the blessing that God has for you, he said, you're going to have to move, number one, past feeling. You got to move past facts and you got to move past your frustrations. And you see what Peter does. Peter says, you know what? I am tired. You know what? I am frustrated. You know what? I got to be honest with you. I don't feel like it. But, y'all see that in the text? There's a conjunction. Nevertheless, he said, well, you know what he said? I'm going to insert a but in my situation. I don't feel like it, but. I'm frustrated, but. The facts ain't on my side, but. Nevertheless, watch this. I will. Y'all looking at the text with me? He said, I will let down the net. Now, there's something that's interesting in here. I got to show it to you. Because after Jesus gives them that word, Simon answered, said, Master, we've worked all night. But at your word, I will let down the net. Watch this, Pastor Milby. He said, we have fished all night. Nevertheless, I will let down the net. Y'all just missed that. Watch this. He said, we have fished all night. Nevertheless, I will let down. You know what Peter said? Simon said, you know what? I don't care what y'all going to do. Y'all may be frustrated and y'all going to stay in that. Y'all may be feeling and y'all going to stay in that. The facts may not, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Yet at your word, I will let down the net. Can I talk to you somebody? Sometimes, if you're going to obey God, sometimes you got to go by yourself. Sometimes you're going to obey God. You can't wait on your family, your friends, your Uncle Charles, your cousin Leroy, your Julio, whatever it is. Sometimes you got to do it by yourself. Even when you're faced with the word of God, people may turn around and do what they want to do. But you as a young person are going to say, you know what? Everybody else is doing all this, trying to be politically correct. I'm going to respond to his word. Everybody else said, I need to go do this. I'm going to do it at his word. See, the word is a lamp unto your feet. The word is what's going to endure. Everything else is just temporary. Grass withers. The flower fades, but the word of God shall stay. How can a young man keep his way pure? By adhering to the word of God. He said, you know what? If I got to go by myself, I'm going to let down the net. Now watch this. He goes back out into the deep. You know how I know he moved? You know how I know this is a faith move? Because the facts are not on his side. How do I know this is a faith move? It's because he has to go get the net he just watched. How do I know this is a faith move? He has to go back out to the area he just came from. And he doesn't, and he caught nothing. Watch this. You know what? My kids, I have a 24-year-old and a 28-year-old. And back then they didn't have all these fancy like game cubes and stuff when they were teenagers and Xbox and stuff like that. He had a Nintendo, I think it was a Nintendo 64. Y'all young people don't know about that. But he'd be playing it sometimes, right? And he'd be playing it, getting ready to go to the next level. And all of a sudden, Pastor, the game would stop and freeze up. Y'all ever heard that, see that game? And I didn't know what my son was going to do. It would just stop. It would just freeze up. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't play. But what he did was, I watched this. What he did was he would shut the game off, take the cartridge out. Then he would blow on it. Y'all remember that? And put it back in the same game, and it started working. The game that wasn't working at first, that was frozen for him, that didn't work for him, what he did was he took it out, blew on it, put it back in, and it started working. And this is what Jesus tells the disciples to do. I want you to go back out there where you just came from, where you caught nothing, where you were unsuccessful. But this time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you out, and my Holy Spirit is going to blow on that thing, and you go back out into the deep, and where you were unsuccessful at, I'm going to show you what I can do. See, somebody think, well, I need to change churches. Somebody said, well, I just need to get me another husband. Somebody said, I just need to get me another wife. Somebody, I need to change jobs. You may need to do that. But sometimes you need to, when things ain't working, if you go back with the word of God, God will say, I can make you successful where you were when you caught nothing. And he goes back. And he goes back into the same place. And much to his shock and surprise, he lets down the net. And when he brings it back up, he has so many fish, he can't even handle it. And can I talk to somebody today? If you respond to God by faith, move past the facts, move past feeling, move past frustration, and respond by faith, number one, you will be blessed. Look at the text. He says that they get in there and they pull up fish. Now, can I just unpack this blessing? I'm going to be out your hair in just a second. Watch this. He said, number one, a blessing of provision. Because you know what happened? What they needed was, they needed to eat something, didn't they? They were fishing to get something to eat. And they were unsuccessful all night the night before. But now, God gives them what they need. And can I tell you, if you respond by faith and respond to the word of God, not by feeling of frustration, but by faith, God will give you the provision that you need to deal with what you're dealing with. He gives them provision. But not only that, not only does he give them provision, watch this, he gives them also some profits. I got to show that to you because the text says they're just not fishing for dinner. They in the fishing business. They have a fishing, it was Peter, James, John, and Andrew. They had a fishing business. So now this fish that they caught was not only for their provision, they were also going to use it to make some little money. So not only will God give you the provision, God will do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything you may even ask or you may think. He gives you the provision, what you need, but then he gives you more than sometimes what you need. And he gives them prophets, but watch this. If you respond by faith, not only will he give you prophets, he'll also give you provision, but there's something else in here. He'll also give you what I call proceeds. Now, there's a difference between prophets and proceeds. Prophets are for you. Proceeds are for somebody else. I worked in a nonprofit industry for years, and whenever we have a fundraising opportunity, we'd have down at the bottom of the brochure, all proceeds go to the children in the urban area. Because proceeds are for somebody else. And when you know what God wants you to understand, he said, tell good shepherd, the yes, I will give them the blessing, but the reason I bless them is not for your own self, but I want a blessing so you can get it to somebody else. See, our problem is we suffer from spiritual constipation. Our problem is we want to consume, but we don't want to give. That's the problem with the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea has a inlet, but it has no outlet. It receives, but it doesn't give. And the reason nothing can grow in the Dead Sea is because nothing can get through it. It stops at the Dead Sea. And I hate to tell you this, you know, while God doesn't bless some people, the reason he doesn't get nothing to you is because he can't get nothing through you. He knows that if he gives it to you, all you're going to do is keep it for yourself, but God wants you to get it so you can share it with somebody else. You know, I told you I had two kids, and whenever we would travel, my daughter's the oldest, and whenever we would travel, it was before they had these little individual bag of chips. I decided to pass them in, but I was going to give them one big bag of Cheetos, right? And I was going to drive, while I was driving, I'd give it to them. But my daughter had a problem, because what I do is I give the big bag of Cheetos to her, and I say, share with your brother. And you know what she would do? She would continue to eat, and she would only give him just a little bit. While she was just digging her hand in it and grabbing it and eating like she wanted to, she would take maybe one or two and give it to him. And you know what I discovered at that time? There's some people that don't deserve the big bag of chips. Because the reason I didn't give her the big bag of chips anymore is because I want to give something to her so that I can get something through her to her little brother. And you know what God's saying today? He said, I want to give you the big bag of chips. But I'm not sure that you're going to share it with anybody. I want to give you the blessing that you want, but I'm not sure you're going to give it away. And so he said, I'm going to give you a profit, I'm going to give you proceeds. And then Peter, what he does is he calls for the other people. He said, man, y'all come get some of this. Y'all come get some of this with how God has blessed me. And then after he got, and they began, the nets began to break, he called for the partners, they all separated, and they brought their boats to land. And Jesus says this, Peter, let me tell you something. You're no longer going to be catching fish. You're going to be fishing for men now. And you know what Jesus does? And you know what Simon says? He said, man, I got a new perspective on two things. Not only God, who you are, but I got a new perspective on who I am. He first of all has a new perspective on who Jesus is. At first, he's calling him teacher. But watch this. He said, I am a sinful man, O Lord. You know what God's trying to get you to? See, you still call him the master. You still call him teacher. But God wants to get to you to the point where he's just not a good teacher. He's Lord over your life. It'll give you a new perspective on who he is. It'll give you a new perspective on who you are. But also, and I close with this, he'll give you a new perspective on what you have.
Something interested me about this text is it happens, Pastor Milbury, is that they brought all this fish to the shore. Jesus says, you'll no longer catch fish, but you now will be fishers of men. And the text say, and they left all and followed him. What surprised me is that all that fish, I thought that's what you wanted. And you leaving it? The prophets, isn't that what you wanted? And you're leaving it all? All the fish that you have, it seems like that's what you toiled all night for. That's what you were frustrated about. That's what you, the facts were, you have all this fish and now you're leaving it. Because when you respond by faith, God will also not only give you a new perspective on who you are, but it also give perspective on what you have. Because the reality is, you discover that, hey, all I ultimately really need is Jesus. You know what Simon discovers? Simon discovers at this incident that if you follow Jesus, fish will never be a problem. That's why he's able to move past that. And he said, hey, if he can do that, if I follow him, I ain't got to worry about fish. Y'all looking at me crazy. Because you remember when he needed to feed the 5,000? He did it with some fish, didn't he? When he needed to pay the taxes, he told the disciples, he said, go down there to the lake and pull a fish up and there's going to be a coin in his mouth. Later on in John chapter 21, same kind of incident, when they went out fishing, when Peter decided he was going to take up the fishing occupation again, he meets Jesus at the sea. Jesus does a miracle, catches with a miracle of fish, and Simon at that point knew, if you follow Jesus, fish is never a problem. Here's what you're going to do with this message. He said, well, Pastor, I understand. I need to respond by faith. And he respond by feeling. And I'm telling you, based upon this word, that you will be blessed so that you can be a blessing. Father, we thank you today. Thank you so much for this word. And Father, those of us who operate out of feeling and facts and frustration, this text teaches us today that we need to operate by faith. And we operate by faith. We know, Lord, you'll bless us so that we may be a blessing to others. We got a new perspective on who you are and a new perspective on what we have. So, Father, we submit everything to you and we want to follow you and give our life to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.